Don't let me forget.
And that's why we have evenings like this, to help us to remember Gethsemane, to remember the crucifixion, to remember what he did for us, to remember the grave, but also to remember the resurrection from the grave. What a tremendous, tremendous element. And of course, I'm on the Israel kick again, but just remembering the tomb there, and there at Golgotha, and the proposed place where that is. What a tremendous, tremendous sight, you know. And as I sing that, I'm picturing, you know, Mary and her gift and going, and what a tremendous opportunity then to look and peer inside of the tomb and see the place where the Lord lay. What an amazing thing to think that it was in that tomb, and then the day of the resurrection that he declared victory over death. He declared victory over all of your sin. He declared victory over the evil, and he declared victory over eternal death and given us eternal life. Must have been a tremendous day when Mary Magdalene came. You know, when I read that passage, when she's sitting there crying, and she's like, just, you know, show me, you know, this. And when Jesus looks at her and says, Mary. It's an amazing thought. And then she looks at him and says, Master, Master. You know, you and I, we all have that our Master has mastered life, and he has declared victory over all. And that's what our celebration is tonight, a night to remember, lest we forget. We don't want to forget. We don't want to forget. Don't let yourself forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. Never complain about hearing the gospel message. Never. If it weren't for that gospel message, we have nothing. And so, you know, it might be a time when you know when there's visitors here, right? Because I give the gospel in a, what does that have to do with what we're talking about today? But I'm not going to pass it up. It's just something I can't do, because you never know if that person's ever going to step foot in a church or open up the Bible ever again. And we're going to take advantage of that that time. But when that happens, don't just kind of, okay, let the pastor get through his thing here. Listen to it, because it's a glorious message. It is everything to us. It ought to mean something again to rehearse it. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is where we normally go to when we celebrate. We will go back to that spot here in just a few moments. Well, you'll already be there, so you can keep your place there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it never ceases to amaze me at the different things that jump out at me to share with you during the Lord's table. And God put this little thing. I was just praying, God, is there anything that you want? I knew that tonight we're going to be celebrating the Lord's table. And so I'll sometimes give it a chance. I'll go and read through and see if God jumps something out to me. If he doesn't, then I just go back to what we're doing or get another message together. But I like to give it a chance, you know, for the Lord. Is there something here that we want to look, that we need to look at? And many times there's not something that jumps out, but this time there was. And I want to share that with you before we partake of the Lord's table. But before we do, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to respond. What are some things that you are thankful for? What are some things you're thankful for? Go ahead. It's yours. Family. Thankful for family. Thankful for life. Thankful for life that God has given to us. I didn't know if he said light. I'm thankful for light as well. What else? Godly wife. Praise the Lord. Okay.
My wife.
Ah, it's wife's. It must be wife's day. Okay. Praise the Lord for another wife. Now all you husbands are on the spot. Now, if you don't say anything... She's going to go home thinking, well, we'll just assume you all are going to say that, all right? What else? Family. Praise the Lord.
Nature.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning. I praise the Lord for nature as well. Peace. Yes, peace.
Salvation. Opportunities to share the gospel, represent Christ throughout the week.
Yeah. That's a blessing. This morning I count it a privilege to share truth with you guys. I love to give you truth. It's good. Anything else?
No world war.
No world war, yeah. That's good. Good health. Praise the Lord for health. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody else? Want to? Amen. Praise the Lord for church, that we have church.
Church family.
Church family. Amen.
Flowers and trees.
Flowers and trees. Yep, amazing. It's good. And we could go on. And I'm sure you have more things that you could mention. All right, look in 1 Corinthians. You say, why do we do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want you to think, this morning and this evening, both simple thoughts. But I want you to listen to what is being said here. Look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, we probably have that verse memorized, don't we? We know what's coming. We anticipate every word there. Problem is a lot of times we don't think about everything that's there. Notice, and when he had given thanks. Now, that's a phrase that I read over every single time. And when he had given thanks. Now, why could we easily read over that? It's kind of like what we do when we sit down to eat. Isn't it very routine for some of us to give thanks? Very routine, right? It's just something that we do. We sit down at the dinner table or whatever like that, and we, in these words, we give thanks. And many times we don't think about what's being said. Now, before we jump to anything, I don't believe that the Lord, I know we have a problem. Let's not put ourselves into the Lord's shoes here. We have a tendency to overlook. Even we give thanks, and sometimes we're not even thinking about what we're saying. We're thinking about what we're about to partake of. You know, we're ready to say amen and... But be careful not to put yourself in the Lord's place, because you are not the Lord and he is not you. I would say that we better be careful thinking, well, he was just doing what was routinely common before you eat. As if Jesus himself would just give thanks in passing. My friend, I don't believe that Jesus did anything unintentional. Would you agree? See, when I read this, I say, oh, he had given thanks. That doesn't mean anything. Because we would say to us, if I'm writing about what I did today at home when I ate, I would easily write, and we gave thanks and ate. And maybe I could be guilty of doing that in vain or just as something we do. But I don't think that we should just chalk it up that the Lord was just doing what was traditional before the meal. I had to really think through this, because when I got to that, I thought, now that's an interesting phrase. And when he gave thanks, that's something that they did, of course. That was customary before they ate. And maybe it was, but I don't believe that Jesus did it unintentionally, that he just did it because it was customary. Now, the word thanks here, we get the word Eucharist, which the Catholics use, which means what? Well, you know, Catholics call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist, and it means what? Thanksgiving. And so it's a time of thanksgiving. What, thanks for what? Now again, we go back into that and you say, well, the Lord was just giving thanks for the food. But you've got to remember what this meal meant. Now we know it as a meal that they shared together, and that was customary. But what was significant about this meal that Jesus had with his disciples? This wasn't just the love feast, and this was a time that Jesus is spending with his disciples. This is his last time he's going to do this with the disciples. And it meant a great deal. This would be a time which would represent a period of time which was about to change the entire course of nature, humanity. Jesus was going to go to the cross and die. Was this simply a ritual before eating? Again, I hardly doubt that Jesus was doing that. And if it was not, then he was truly giving thanks for what was about to happen. Bread representing what? You tell me. His body. Bread was about to be broken and divided up with whoso would take. Also, his sacrificial, substitutional sacrifice for the atonement for sins. The wine representing what? The blood. His shed blood for the cleansing of sin and grace to give us a place undeserved. This was about what Jesus was ready to partake of. And Jesus is thanking God for this. But we know that definitely Jesus could see the blessings that would come from it. People will be saved. People will be added to the church. People will be in heaven. But I submit to you that the process in getting there was not so blessed. And by the way, I said this many times to you, and I will continue to say it many times, don't think for a moment that just because it was Jesus being God, that was any easier than any of you or I going to a cross. In fact, that's why we as believers believe and understand and would die for the fact that Jesus was 100% God, but he was 100% man. You've got to see that, because if you only attest to his deity and not his humanity, then you miss out on this. This erases what he did, because then really he could push his God button and escape it. And then what would it mean? No, Jesus in the flesh, as a man, just like you and just like me, went to the cross and he felt everything a man would feel. There was no immunity or any deadening. The doctor didn't give him a shot so that he would be numb from feeling this. God didn't give him something so that he didn't feel it. No, he felt every ounce of what was delivered to him, every blow, every gash, everything. He took that for your healing. The passage in Isaiah tells us, and by his stripes, with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes. Healing. But he took them. He took them all. How could he be thankful for this? Now, I want to pause for just a moment in case some of you are saying, no, he wasn't saying anything about what that was. He was just simply giving thanks for the meal. I stop and say, I don't believe one ounce that that's the case. Because he's coming to this final meal and he gives thanks for the broken body. and the blood that was about, and again, the juice that would represent, the wine that was about to represent in within 24-hour period of what literally was going to happen. He knew what was about to happen. And for that, he gave thanks to the Father. Folks, what an example to us. I started off by saying, what are you thankful for? I agree with everything every one of you said. But do you know something? Every one of you said something that was very positive. Jesus was giving thanks for something that was so negative, at least in his humanity and even in his spirit. The opportunity that he had with the Father, thank you. The pain that would come his way, thank you. The grief that would well up inside of his soul and spirit, the opportunity to us, the results to the Father, the results to us. And Jesus says, and when he had given thanks. I don't know about you, but if that was me, if I were put in his shoes that night in which they, Jesus, the disciples, took bread, I think that I would have a very difficult time giving thanks. I find it difficult to give thanks for pain. I find it difficult to give thanks for troubles and trials. I find it difficult to give thanks for dilemma and struggle. I find it difficult to give thanks when there's animosity between two. I find it difficult to praise God for something when circumstances don't work the way I was hoping for. If anything, I try to just become neutral, but to give thanks is another issue. God, thank you. Father, thank you for this. Thank you that I missed the turn. Thank you that my vehicle broke down. God, thank you that I just had another bill to pay. God, thank you for this sickness. God, thank you for... That's so tough. But here we have a model going before us and before his disciples. He stops and he gives thanks. He gives thanks for about what is going to take place. Thank you. What can we learn from this? I submit to you that we ought also to be thankful for the difficulties that come our way. See, my friend, it's a way to commune with Christ. And that's one of the elements that we have tonight. As we partake of the Lord's table, we commune with our brothers and sisters that we have a common bond in Christ, but we commune with our Savior, the Lord. We unite with Him in His sufferings and His broken body, and we get to join Him in this. And we too can say, thank you, God, for what we get to go through for your cause. We know in the Scriptures, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a thankful individual that was thankful for the trials that come our way. And we say, I can't imagine being like Paul. How could he thank God for a trial into his life? But my friend, I tell you, it's a way to be with Christ. It's a way to abide with him. It's a way to live his life in our lives, his death and our death, to be thankful for the trials that would come our way. And yet Jesus, in the night, gave thanks. Tonight we have an opportunity to remember. And no doubt I'll read the words once again. And as he gave thanks. And we also ought to this evening give thanks. Oh yes, we'll all be thankful for what Jesus did for us. But like Jesus, we ought to be thankful for the things that God brings our way. Question to you to answer. why does God allow us to go through trials and struggles and tribulations and sicknesses and times of lack and need? Why does God allow us to go through those things? So that we can need Him, right? So that we can rely upon Him, so that we will go to Him. And when we go to Him, what is available? Mercy and grace, right? Mercy and grace that abounds. Sounds really like a good thing. We get to relate with Him, and He's going to give us mercy and grace anyway. My friend, it's a new perspective that we ought to have. And tonight, as we gather together and we get to partake, I want to encourage you to be thankful. To be thankful for the things that God brings our way, because God is wanting us to rely upon Him. What else? Why does God bring us through? Why does God let us go through that? Is He being cruel and mean? Give us a little taste of what He went through? Why? We can't handle it, can we? We can't deal with this. We can't go through this. We need Him. It's good. What else? Why else does God allow us to go through difficulties in life? To make us more like Him. To bring us to Himself. Sanctification is an amazing thing. We often pray, God, help me to be more like You. And then when He does, we complain about it. But it's His way. Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts? And why does God bring trials into our lives? Yeah, He does. He brings trials into our lives so that we can then help other people go through those difficulties, because we've got some experience now, and so now we can, I've been through that, let me help you. This is how, praise God that He does that. My friend, we've got to remember that in conjunction with what we learned this morning, God is only up to all good, everything is all good, and He meant it. And even what Jesus is going to go through sounds like all bad, but it was all good. We glory, no, the cross of Christ is a, we could attest that it's a sad story, those wicked people and all, but praise God that there is a story. Because without that story, we would be lost in our trespasses and sins. We would be dead in those things, and there would be no hope. It sounds demented to say, I'm thankful for those whippings. But that's my healing. I don't glory, you know, I don't want to glory in those crown of thorns on His head where blood drips down His face, but that blood is my righteousness. And it's for that that Jesus gives thanks. You see, He's given thanks for you. He's given thanks for you. And I'm very grateful for a week and a half ago when I was reading over this in preparation for tonight, that I read over a phrase that I've read over who knows how many times, and it stuck out to me. And when He had given thanks. Wow. I want to encourage you, as we partake now, to remember, for sure, but let's remember, like Christ, to give thanks for that cruel story which we benefit so much from. I don't think for a moment that Jesus was doing this just out of tradition. Thank you, Lord, for the meal. Bless our bodies. Amen. Eat. No. He was thanking the Father for the opportunity to help you to be a blessing. May we be thankful as well. Tonight is a time to remember, but it's a time to be thankful. I'm going to have the men come that are going to serve the Lord's table.